Hey.
Hit it.
Duke just reminded me of something.
What's that?
Well, the Duke reminded me that we never discussed that Salvation plain and simple track.
No, I said that on Friday. I wanted to spend the last 5 seconds going into this thing. I could have done it.
Well, he just reminded me now that we have to cover this today, so, you know.
I could have done it.
I think we need to find a new director here. I don't like Duke. He wants me to talk about, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, he brings you your coffee, he brings you your water, you want a sub, he goes out, what did he do for his Friday? You wanted a sub, and Duke went out and got the sub, right?
Yeah.
And he even got all the spinach on it, and people are asking about your spinach thing. People that are writing in want to know, Dan have a spinach fetish or something?
Yeah, well, just, terrible. You know, it's hard to tell a guy you want something different. You know, Duke is what, 6'8", 320
You don't
want to
mess with Duke.
I don't want
to. No, it's the Duke. You call him, he likes.
Sorry.
He
what?
Wants.
What? Sorry.
You're dead.
He's 6'8", 320. So.
Yeah, you got to mention his height and weight. Yeah, you don't want to mess with this guy. The Duke, sorry.
6'8", 320.
Hey, Duke.
He is the front line.
The Duke. Duke, I have a question
he
for.
He can't beat us while we're on the air, which is good.
Thank God for that glass. Yeah. Is it bulletproof? I have to ask the Duke a question. Do you actually listen to our show, Duke? No, you just do the program.
He's shaking his head.
He doesn't even listen to it. What are you doing, watching a baseball game back there? He is.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a little black and white television.
Yeah, well.
No wonder we got sound issues here. Pay attention to the show. Okay, are you paying attention now?
I think he's.
I have a question for you, Duke. I have a question for you. Can you hear me? Am I on the? Are we actually on the air? Well, great, good job.
All right.
Are you going to heaven?
Oh, no. He's too big.
You know, with that verse we read about, as an Adam, all are dying, all should be, I think he's the exception. He's
going
to live forever. You can't kill that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to finally get to this track that I got at the grocery store.
That track.
Wait a minute, be
Duke's
careful. That coffee you're drinking, Duke made that. You got. I'm going to make sure that you survive the first three sips before I get any of that.
He finds the best coffee grounds ever. I don't know where he gets them. They're homemade or something.
Oh, I got some German coffee at home. I don't know who gave it to me, but nobody grinds like the Germans. Man, they just grind those coffee beans down to fine powder.
All right, let's get to this track.
Sorry. I want to talk about William Howard Taft again. We got a few calls about that.
Yeah.
People saw that on the web, and they just kind of freaked out, but this is a track that I've been dying to talk to you about.
All right.
We're finally going to get to it. It's called Are You Going to Heaven? And under that it says, read this booklet to know for sure. Read this booklet to know if you're going to heaven. Don't look at the cross.
Does it say Salvation Plain and Simple?
Yeah, this is called Salvation Plain and Simple. It's by a man named Dr. Curtis Hudson. Never heard of the guy.
Sword of the Lord Publishers. God help us. Go ahead.
Why, you know about it? It is Sword of the Lord Publishers.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Because I knew the founder of that organization, not personally, but
what, this Hudson guy?
No, he's not. Dr. John R. Rice, I believe, was the founder. He was a Baptist preacher. Yes, he was.
He's a Baptist preacher.
Yeah,
he's a Baptist preacher. Well, we should must pay attention to the
Baptist. You don't say
wrong.
God, you say God.
God. Well, yeah, if you say God, then everybody believes you.
Yeah,
we should start talking like that.
All right,
now, listen to how this, I'm going to, picking and choosing things out of this.
Right,
but I want you to listen
to
this.
Let's hear how simple and plain salvation is.
That's the name of this track.
Let's hear it.
Salvation, plain, simple.
I hope this is better than Crossway Church, but let's go.
Isaiah 53:6, the Lord says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's a quote from Scripture. That's a good way to start. If you're going to write a track, quote Scripture.
Good.
And then Dr. Curtis Hudson elaborates on this thing. Every sin we have ever committed or ever will commit if we live to be 1,000 years old, God placed on Christ. Jesus Christ actually took all my sins, Dan, past, present, and future, and bore them in his own body.
I love it.
Friend.
Love it so far.
Friend.
Yeah.
Friend, God looked down through the telescope of time and saw every sin you would ever commit.
Wow.
And with you, that was a heck of a lot.
Then
he put those sins in one big package and laid them on Christ. And he quotes Scripture here, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So what do we have so far here? The Lord has laid the sins of the world on him. If you live to be 1,000.
Perfect. Love it.
Hyperbole. Great. Talk about a drum roll. He's done it all. Any sin you'll ever commit, past, present, or future.
Does that include Howard Taft's sins?
No. Yes.
Okay.
And Mrs. Taft as well.
Okay.
And Dukes. The Dukes. That every is. Sin you will ever commit, past, present, or future, was laid upon Christ. And that is on page 12 and 13 of this 22-page tract. Now I'm going to go to page 21.
22 pages for something plain
yeah,
and simple?
Yeah, listen to this.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, plain and simple. Listen to this on page 21.
All right, here we
the
go.
The worst sin in the world is not trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and that is the only sin for which a man will go to hell. Freaking quote. Can you
wait
believe?
Let me get this straight. He said in one instance, all of our sins, even if we lived to 1,000, were laid on Christ.
Yeah. It just he couldn't exaggerate it enough.
Exactly.
If you lived to be a million, this past, present, and future, you well, wait a minute. That was
so he didn't die for all my sins.
Except one. There's only one sin that's going to send you for hell.
Well, then why not forget the other sins and just die for that one?
Yes, why not? Why didn't he die for the critical sin? What's the difference? So he dies for adultery. He dies for greed. He dies for gluttony. He dies for all these sins, and yet I'm still going to hell if I'm an unbeliever.
Oh, my goodness.
So he dies for all these non-essentials. The one sin that's going to send me to hell is unbelief, and that's the only sin undied for. Boy, that's not very efficient. I say, die for unbelief. And then you cover everything. If you die for unbelief, then the rest of it takes care of itself. I can be this, that. He saved us. It's just, I don't know. We finally got the Duke paying attention to that. You can't believe the hypocrisy.
That is probably the stupidest thing I ever heard.
But look at this guy. He's a doctor, Dr. Curtis. How can an intelligent man?
He needs to send back his diploma and get his money back.
No kidding. His mom and dad put him through the seminary. I demand a refund. How does an intelligent person make a contradictory statement like that within 8 pages? How? There's got to be some kind of strange influence on a person like that.
How about it's got to be satanic?
I think it is satanic.
Well, how about this? I'm going to quote a scripture. Why don't we do that? Why don't we fix all that? Here's the Apostle Paul speaking.
Ah, relief.
The Apostle Paul. And guess what? Paul didn't have a degree from their seminary. The only seminary Paul went to, they wanted to kill him. Let's put it that way. Here
Paul's
we go.
Seminary was the Arabian desert talking to the resurrected Christ.
Exactly. Here he says, for in grace, through faith, are you saved. I'm going to repeat that again. For in grace, through faith, are you saved. Do you want me to repeat that?
I wish you would.
For in grace, through faith, are you saved. And here it is. And this is not out of you.
You're famous for that.
This is not out of you. There is nothing that came out of you that drew this salvation. Nothing came out of you. It wasn't drawn out by you. There's nothing in you that saves you. Not even the sin of unbelief.
Where'd the faith come from then?
It's not out of you. It came from God. It came from outside of you then. If you're saved, it didn't come out of you. It came from outside of you. It came from another source. And that source is God. God is the source of your salvation. There is no sin that keeps you out of, quote, heaven. In grace, through faith, are you saved, and this is not out of you. And it continues, it is God's approach present. What Curtis Hudson just did in that tract.
Dr. Curtis Hudson.
Doctor, excuse me. He just said that you have to come to God with something. But here it says salvation is God's approach present. And the Concordant version says approach present. And this is what I like about the Concordant literal New Testament, distinguishes between these Greek words. This word approach present was used in the Old Testament for when somebody approached a king. In order to gain admittance into the presence of a king or somebody of great importance, they would bring an approach present. It was like an offering that they would bring to gain admittance. Well, salvation is not us bringing anything to God, even our faith. It is God coming to us and approaching us to win our favor. What a difference. God's approach present, not out of works. Now notice the two things it's not out of. It's not out of you, and it's not out of works, lest anyone should be boasting. And that Curtis Hutton track would only do one thing, would make you boast.
Well, sure.
In what you do. They would say, look at the, and I used to teach this. And I used to think that I made this wise decision. And I used to say any idiot can be saved, right? I used to think that I made this decision because it's so simple. No, God didn't make it simple for you to do something. He made it so he does it for you. That's the simplicity of it. You do nothing.
Yeah, but the problem is untangling this stuff. It's like every sin, whitewash. Every sin, whitewash, whitewash. Every sin, if you live to be a thousand, whitewash, whitewash, whitewash. Then you get into the tomb, and except for one. Every sin, every sin, every sin, except for this one.
This means is Christ did 99% of the salvation, and you have to ante up your 1%. Yeah. If Jesus Christ did 99% of the saving, you're 100% lost. Do you hear that? If Jesus Christ did 99% of the saving, you did 100% loss. If it is up to you to do something, that something that you do is 100% of your salvation. Did you hear that going back and forth? I know that was convoluted what I just said.
Duke, did you hear that?
Pardon, think about this.
Yeah.
If your faith is what's required to save you, what is the most important part of
your
salvation?
Faith, that's the thing.
That's more important than the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Religion says Christ Jesus came into the world to give people the opportunity to be saved.
That's subtle.
That's stupid. It's terrible.
Well, it's satanic to be that subtle. You know, I it took me a while to figure this out. I mean, it's like, wow, that's really tricky. What a great little feint of hypocrisy. What a twist of the wrist. And I wrote this down in the back of this track. You see my handwriting there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Only I can read this because it
all
looks like hieroglyphics. This is what I figured out from this.
I
thought about this for days, and
that,
I wrote this down.
Is that from the Moabite Stone or
this
something
is,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, this is the Rosetta Stone, actually. What this man is asking me to do opposes the very thing he's trying to preach. He says it's Christ alone, but I can't be saved unless I trust completely in Jesus. I had to really wrestle with this to see where the trick comes in.
Yeah.
And so by saying this, I'm not trusting completely in Jesus. I'm trusting in my ability to trust in Jesus.
That's right.
That's the thing right there. When you slow down the film, that's what jumps out at you, that, oh my gosh, I think I'm trusting in Jesus, but I'm trusting in my trust in Jesus. It's my relevant decision,
well,
as
the,
those goofballs
that's
at the cross
subtlety,
the church
that's,
said.
That's Satan's subtlety today. We have faith in our faith. We have trust in our trust. We worship our worship. We have feelings for our feelings. I mean, that's really what's going on.
I know. It's very subtle. And we're trying to... It could be that those who are listening to us who have assumed all their lives that they're believers, maybe you need to ask yourself, did you come to Christ by believing in your belief?
Yeah.
Was the gospel presented to you as a challenge to your faith? Or was the gospel presented to you as an accomplishment of Jesus Christ? That's a critical question that I think you need to ask yourself.
That is,
I was a Christian. I was a Christian for 10 years before I became a believer.
Repeat what you just said.
Was
it presented to you as a challenge to your faith, or was it presented as an accomplishment
of Christ?
That's
think
the difference.
About that.
The gospel is not a challenge to your faith. The
That's
gospel
right.
is a presentation of the
accomplishments
of Jesus Christ. And remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you'll be.
I like it when you say that.
Yeah, this is Dan Sheridan. You can visit my website at paulsevangel.com, or you can call me at 847-312-4676.
Once in a while, we should probably advertise each other's website. I should talk about Paul's Evangel, and you can talk about mine.
MartinZender.com. Sign up for his Clanging Gong newsletter, too.
Wasn't
and come see
fun.
Us in Chicago this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
We'll be there, and we hope you will.